Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Psalm chapter 34. What a beautiful psalm this is. I want you to remember the number of this psalm, Psalm 34. It's always a neat discussion among believers to say, hey, what are your favorite psalms? And we can think of so many of them. Psalm 1, Psalm 23, Psalm 27, Psalm 34. So you will have this psalm as a treasure in your mind and memory to not only go back and feast upon, but also to share with others, to send them an email and say, hey, brother, hey, sister, check out Psalm 34. We're going to start in verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord. Psalm 34, 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints. Now, that right there is a command, and it's a delight, because the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is clean. The Lord, ye His saints, that's a command. We are to fear God. That's a great study in and of itself, a topical study. I suggest that you do that. It'll change your life on the fear of God. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want. That means lack. There's no lack to them that fear Him. Notice the command and the promise. So first we have a command, right? Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints. God expects His people to fear Him. Jesus commanded that we fear Him, God the Father, who is able to cast us into hell if we don't, Luke 12, 4 and 5. So we're to fear God, and then what does He promise to those that fear Him? For there is no lack to them that what? Fear Him. I gave the man a track, and I ministered to him, and then he just was able to talk to me, and that made him feel good, in Spanish. Then 10 minutes later, I walked back by, and his wife was reading the track. They were very hungry, so we took a picture of them, and they were a precious couple. But anyway, I could just think of so much more that could be done. So in Psalm 34, 9, we read a command of God. I want you to ask Him a question. How many people know by a raising of hands that God's blessings are conditional, not unconditional? Let's get this straight in each of our hearts and mind, because we're all prone to be self-righteous and conceited and prideful. Listen, God does not need me or you. You need and I need Him. So we are to fear the Lord, and then He promises to those that fear Him, and those that fear Him will obey Him. They will live a life separated on Him. They're going to have no lack. Amen. What a promise. Especially in light of the last days, which we now are in. Verse 10, Psalm 34, 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or will not lack any good thing. It's interesting that Jesus was born into poverty, per se, and then He died on the cross. And in between those two events, He many times didn't even have a place to lay His head. So He didn't make Himself rich in this world. He knew the Father was going to provide for Him all along the way. So He kept giving out everything that came to Him. And you know, money came into Jesus's ministry. We know that because He had appointed a treasurer, somebody to keep the money safe. That would be Judas, who later betrayed Him. But nevertheless, He poured out everything, including His own life blood for us. He didn't hold back anything. The Apostle Paul also said that he had nothing in this world, but he was poor, yet making many rich, that is, rich in Christ. Perhaps we could observe that many times we hold back earthly treasures as our safety net, our safeguard, instead of releasing them into the work of God for the furtherance of Christ's gospel. But we need to know that God is the one who gives seed to the sower. When you sow it, he's going to bring it back to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Perhaps we should consider making ourselves poor in this world in order to help others to be rich with the only riches there are, eternal riches, and that's Christ. So we're learning here in Psalm 34 that those who fear the Lord, who seek the Lord, are not going to lack anything that they need on this earth. The Bible says the Lord loveth a cheerful giver, and the first thing we should give is our life and our heart to the Lord. The most important thing is that we give our heart to the Lord. And when our heart is open and given to the Lord, given over to him, our hand is going to be given and opened unto the gospel. Verse 11, Psalm 34, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. All right, let's talk a little bit about verse 11 here. When we're coming to the Lord, that's every day as we seek his face and we live a life of prayer, because the Bible says pray without ceasing. We're coming to the Lord. We're coming to his word. We're seeking his face. And what's going to happen? We're going to learn. He's going to teach us the fear of the Lord as we come to him continually. This is describing the abiding walk with Christ that he speaks of in John 15. As we're coming to him continually, he's going to teach us his fear, to fear him, which is clean. It's a blessing. It's a command of God, and it's the will of God. Verse 12, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? So what the Lord is asking us here in verse 12 is, who wants to live a blessed life? We serve such a benevolent, loving God. He's asking us, if you want to live a life rich and blessed, rich in the Spirit, we have heavenly riches in Christ, according to Ephesians 1. They're in heavenly places, but they're also here in our life, our abiding life in Christ. Notice verse 13, he begins to tell us how to live a blessed life. How many people are ready to hear how to live a blessed life? Blessed life, before we start on this, is not what the world or the false church defines it to be. We're not talking about the Joel Osteen blessed life. That's a cursed life. We're talking about the life Christ calls us to, which is the crucified life. And let me issue this warning on the authority of God's word. Beware of the poison peddling false prophets. You got to go down to be lifted up in the kingdom of Christ. You got to die and be buried, and then Christ raises you up. The only way up in Christ's kingdom is down. You got to go down for him to lift you up. Everything we're getting ready to read is going to come out of the cross life. You're going to be empowered by God as you lay down your life. You got to release your life. You got to lose your life in Christ. Jesus is going to raise you up to accomplish the things that we are getting ready to read in his resurrection life and power. He's going to raise you up out of that crucified posture. Your life in this world, now that you're saved, is a reenactment of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're denying yourself. You're dying to self. You're buried, and he's raising you up out of that death position. God's not going to raise up anyone who's not crucified with Christ. Death and burial has to. It necessitates preceding the resurrection. Anybody not preaching the cross, the crucified life, is a false teacher. Jesus said to follow him, you must deny, not lift up, not elevate, but deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow him. Jesus is teaching his true people, his remnant, the cross life, and people are starting to dance and twirl in joy because then they're realizing that when they're dead and buried, Christ's resurrection power is teeming in them and working through them, and they're starting to see exactly how the gospel works in their daily life. The cross is twofold. Number one, it's the blood that Jesus shed on the altar of the cross, and it's also the cross that he commanded us to take up daily in following him. Amen. So first, it's the blood of his cross that he bought us back with his blood to the Father and himself. And then he tells us how to live successfully in this life to glorify him by setting ourselves aside and letting him reign in our lives. So here we go in verse 13 on how to live a blessed life in Christ and how to have a rich life in Christ. I'm going to read verse 13. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. And so this is a Bible topic that covers a lot of real estate in the scriptures, and that's what we speak. And to get to the root of it, now I want you to find verses on the tongue and the mouth and your words. They're throughout scripture, Old and New Testament. But suffice it to say that Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So whatever's coming out of our mouths is an indication clearly of what's really in our hearts. We're going to go to verse 14. So first of all, we're learning that what we speak out of our mouths, let it be blessings and grace and truth, amen, and love. That's the number one thing he says about living a rich, full life in Christ. Psalm 34, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. The Lord commands us to depart from evil. Whatever God calls evil or sin in his word is sin. And it doesn't matter if it feels good. It doesn't matter if you understand it or not. You are to depart from it. Depart from evil. So we're to depart from evil and we're to do good. We're to do the things God calls us to do, to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. Do good. That's a command. The Bible tells us that Jesus in his life on earth went about doing good. Amen. Acts 10:38. How many people are excited to know that God sent his son to bless us? That's exactly what it says in Acts chapter 3, verse 26, that God sent his son to bless us. Mankind was under the curse and the darkness of sin until the light of the world shined and came in the flesh, the Word made flesh, who came to die for us. Jesus came to forgive our sins and lift us out of sin and darkness, to reign with him in heavenly places and to walk with him in the light, in the spirit, in the truth while we're on this earth, and shine that light into the hearts of other people so that they can be rescued also in Jesus' name. Jesus said he's the light of the world, and he also said you now are the light of the world. We're like the moon that reflects the sun in a dark world. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Bible says God has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. He says here, depart from evil. That was your old life. You're no longer in darkness. You're in the marvelous light of Christ. You are now a born-again believer, and you're to do good. You're to take the love of God to the streets and go be a blessing to others. Seeing a lot of soul winning in this verse, Psalm 34:14. We're departing from evil, we're doing good, and we're seeking peace between God and man, telling them that Jesus has won the war. He paid their debt of sin fully on the cross. It is finished, and they could be forgiven and made free. Colossians 1:20 tells us that Jesus Jesus made peace between God and man through the blood of his cross. The precious blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're learning right here in detail what it is to live a rich and full life of success and blessing in abiding in Christ. Psalm 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are opened unto their cry. Psalm 34:15. So as we finish in verse 15 here, it's kind of like a heavenly satellite from God himself. His eyes are upon the righteous, upon his people. He loves his people. No different than a mom and dad that are looking down at their little two-year-old toddler and just smiling, and their eyes never leave that baby. We know the blessing of being a parent, and we're seeing how God our Father, his eyes are always upon his people, and his ear is opened to their cry, to their prayer, so we can ask and we will receive. Amen. God is going to hear the prayers of the righteous. Jesus said when we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, and he also said, ask and you shall receive. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to help us to abide in Christ, to be crucified with Christ, and thereby live a rich and full, blessed, successful life as you count it to be a blessing and success. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.